Today is a very special day on the Vaishnav calendar, it is the Vishwarup Mahotsava, and it is also the day that Prabhupada took sannyas. So I think we're going to be speaking about those two subject matters today. Vishwarup Mahotsava is the day that Vishwarupa also took sannyas, and I'm going to talk about who Vishwarupa is. So because it's a sannyas day, we're going to chant this one song, Baja Hore Mana, Sri Nandanandana, by Govindadas Kaviraj. So very, very important song. Okay, I'm not going to use the guitar for different reasons. Other days I'll use the guitar, but right now it's not appropriate for certain reasons. Anyway, don't worry about it. So, Baja Hure Mana Shri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanar Vindure Baja Hure Mana Shri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanar Vindure Nulava Manava Janam Satsange Dulava Manava Janam Satsange Tarohe Bhavat Sindhure Tarohe Bhavat Sindhure Sita Hotpa Patabarijana Edina Jamani Jagi re Shitotapa Vatabarijana Edina Jamani Jagi re Pipale Sevenu Kripana Dura Jana Vipala Sevenu Kripana Dura Jana Chapala Sukalaba Lagi Re Chapala Sukalaba Lagi Re E Dona Jauvana Putrapa Rejana Ite Kihache Pratiti Re E Dona Jauvana Putrapa Rejana Ite ki ache patatiti tre Kamala dala jala Jivana talamala Kamala dala jala Jivana talamala Vajahu hari padaniti re Vajahu hari padaniti re Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Padasevanam Dashare Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Padasevanam Dashare Pujana Saki Jana Admani Vedana Pujana Saki Jana Atmani Vedana Govinda Dasa Abhilasha Re Govinda Dasa Abhilasha Re Vajahu Re Mana Shri Nandanandana Abhaya Charana Ravindu Re Vajahu Re Mana Shri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanaravinda Re Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadhi Gauravrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Haribo, 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 Haribo. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Paravidikacharya, also tell us that Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Chalanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai. Anandakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Gijai Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Gijai Prem Sei Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Sai Mukunda Radhakunda Kiri Govardhan Gijai Vrindavanam Gijai Maturam Gijai Jagannatha Swami Gijai Yamunamai Gijai Shrimati Lasadevi Gijai, Samaveda Pakta Vrindi Gijai, Go Primananda Hari Hari Bo. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Gijai, Nama Om Vishnupadaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharane Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarane. So, as I mentioned before, today is the glorious day that Srila Prabhupada took sannyas. It's called Visvarup Mahotsava, and it's also the day that Visvarup, the elder brother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, took sannyas. So, let me just set the chat window up here so I can see if anyone has any comments while I'm speaking. Okay, so let's talk about Visvarup very shortly. So, Om Gana Timidanda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Un Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, Lord Chaitanya's appearance was very similar to Krishna's appearance in Mathura. Actually, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual masters, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded completely in the darkness of ignorance. So, then Lord Chaitanya's appearance is very similar to the appearance of Sri Krishna, which took place approximately 4,500 years before Lord Chaitanya was born. So, here's a little bit of interesting information. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother, before she gave birth to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she had 8 daughters. And of course, there was no Kamsa around to kill her daughters. But they died one after another immediately after birth. Now, I'm sure that there's some inside story about that, how, you know, either they were cursed or they didn't want to take birth on the Earth planet for a long time. I don't know the inside story. Perhaps someone does. But anyway, so immediately after birth, they passed away, the daughters. And then she was pregnant for the 9th time, and she gave birth to a son who she named, what, Vishwaroop. And Vishwaroop is considered to be Balaram, an incarnation of Balaram. This is very, very interesting. So it's also described that when Vishwaroop passed away, he entered into Nityananda. Exactly what that means, entered into, just take it as an article of faith. So anyway, so interesting story. Vishwaroop would always associate with Advaitacharya and hear Krishna Katha from Advaitacharya. So what happened is that he was hearing this Krishna Katha all the time. I mean, at least this is the external reason, not the internal reason. He was hearing this Krishna Katha all the time, and as a result, he became detached. So much detached. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes join. He was just a little boy at that particular point. But he would sometimes join at Advaitacharya's house to hear this Krishna Katha. There's some stories that when Advaitacharya and the others saw Lord Chaitanya, they became overwhelmed with his beauty, seeing his beauty. So Visvarupa heard all this spiritual knowledge. Then one day, he was actually listening through the door or the wall while his parents, Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra, were discussing his marriage. And so he became very, very upset. And so what happened is he headed for the hills. He took sannyas, left in the middle of the night. And Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra were very, very upset. Very, very upset. You know, Lord Chaitanya, after that, he's told them, don't worry, I'll stay with you. But in any case, they were so upset that Jagannath Mishra would not let Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continue his education because he was afraid if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found out too much about this material world, he would take sannyas. Actually, I didn't read the translation. Let me read the translation of this poem, because this is very much in line with what we're talking about. O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the son of Nanda, which makes one fearless. Having obtained this rare human birth, cross over the ocean of worldly existence by associating with saintly persons. Day and night I remain sleepless, suffering heat and cold, wind and rain. For a bit of flickering happiness, I have vainly served wicked and miserly men. What assurance of real happiness is there in all one's wealth, youth, sons, and relatives? This life totters like a drop of water on a lotus petal. Therefore, you should always worship the lotus feet of Lord Hari. Govindadas longs to hear the glories of Lord Hari, to chant his glories. Constantly remember him, offer him prayers, serve his lotus feet, become his servant, worship him, serve him as a friend, and completely offer him his very self. So, Govindadas' statement here, that it's like a drop of water, a lotus leaf, which means at any minute, the drop of water, because the lotus leaf has a waxy covering, can fall off. And that's like this life, at any minute, you know, unexpected, when you're going to pass away. Like when one time Prabhupada was talking to a reporter, and Prabhupada was asked a question about the, she said, why so many young people? And of course, Prabhupada also answered, the youth is the time for education, because you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And Prabhupada said something like, how do you know that you're not older than me? And she was a young girl, and Prabhupada was over 70. And she got bewildered, and Prabhupada said, old age means how close you are to death, so you never know who's close to death. and who's far away from death, but ultimately it will come. So one has to take advantage of every moment, and that's one of the qualities of Vaishnava. Doesn't waste any time. Anyway, so let's go back to Vishwarup. So Vishwarup just headed out. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not allowed to get any schooling. Eventually he convinced his parents that he should go back to school when he sat on a whole bunch of rejected cooking pots that his parents thought were improper. And then he just said, you know, how do you expect me to understand what's proper or contaminated and what's not contaminated unless you send me some education, send me to school? Oh, say, okay. So Vishwarup, his sannyasa name was Shankaranya. And he passed away ultimately in a place called Pandapura, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found out about during his tour of South India. So, anyway. So that's Vishwarup, and as I mentioned before, he entered into Lord Nityananda, because Vishwarup and Lord Nityananda, they're non-different. So they're expansions, or both incarnations of Balaram, or Baladev, as we know it. So today is Vishwarup Mahotsava. So, in addition to being Vishwarup Mahotsava, for us in the Krishna Conscious Movement, another very important thing that occurred today was the taking of sannyas by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So what I would like to do right now is, if that's all right, read from the Prabhupada Lilamrita a short passage about Srila Prabhupada's taking sannyas. And I guess I will comment a little bit as we read this short passage about Prabhupada's taking sannyas, or what happened before Prabhupada took sannyas, and then what happened when Prabhupada took sannyas. Okay, so let us share the screen. All right. Whoops. I wonder what screen it's on. So, Windows. I know I have it open somewhere. Vishwarupa. Let me just see. Yes, I have it opened. Hold on a second. I had prepared for this class. Let's see. Vishwarupa. Okay. Oh, yeah, I see. I think I see. Yeah. A.K.A. Here's the story. So before Prabhupada, let me put up the chat window so I can see if there's... Usually like to keep it open to see if there's any problems with people hearing things or whatever. Before Prabhupada took sannyas, he had approached many of his godbrothers to either give him sannyas or allow him to sponsor his travel to the Western world, but they basically just wanted to placate him. As we're going to read here, of course, Prabhupada at that time is known as Abhaya, Abhaya Chandanadavinda. So let's continue. Abhaya could understand the needs and priorities of the Chaitanya Math, but he could not allow them to overrule what he considered the highest mandate, preaching as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had ordered. Abhaya had offered his services to the leaders of the Chaitanya Math, thinking they might also see things his way. He thought that with the world's crying need for Krishna consciousness staring them in the face, they might see that this Abhay Babu was convinced and enthusiastic and should be sent right away with whatever he required. But they had other priorities. I'm not going to get into criticizing Prabhupada's godbrothers. But Prabhupada was the one who took to his heart and soul the order of his spiritual master more than any other devotees who had gotten that order. I mean, obviously, some of the devotees had not gotten that order because they didn't know English or whatever. But amongst those who actually got that order, so Abhay next turned to Keshava Maharaj in Mathura, and Keshava Maharaj told Abhay to take sannyas Immediately after corresponding with Tirtha Maharaj, if I had felt some uncertainty about accepting sannyas, because Tirtha Maharaj said, you know, just take your time, just be patient. And he actually discouraged Prabhupada. He said to Prabhupada that most of the preaching in the Western world nowadays is done through television and radio, or most of the communication, so it's not necessary to go there physically. Abhay had felt some uncertainty about accepting sannyas, and now that he has been encouraged so strongly, he resisted. But Keshava Maharaj was insistent. And actually, Prabhupada had gotten two dreams before, where Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to him in the middle of the night, and that's when a dream usually occurs, and he was beckoning to him, take sannyas, come with me, but Prabhupada, being very responsible, he said that he felt horrified. But Prabhupada's wife actually helped, let's say, inspire Prabhupada to take sannyas. Not that she wanted Prabhupada to take sannyas, but there's that whole story about Prabhupada finding his Bhagavatam had been sold for what? Tea biscuits. And Prabhupada got really angry. Imagine selling someone's Bhagavatam for tea biscuits. And then there's that whole story about how Prabhupada said to his wife, who was addicted to drinking tea, you either give up tea or give up me, you know, tea or me, as Prabhupada put it. And she said, I'd rather have tea than you. So, of course, she was probably joking, but Prabhupada took that very seriously. Then his business went bankrupt. So many things happened. So there is a background story to Prabhupada taking sannyas. Also, Prabhupada had attempted to preach in Jhansi, and that project was taken away from him. And so he understood sannyas means a complete, utter, absolute dedication to the order of the spiritual master. Actually, the word sannyas is composed of three syllables, sannyasa, but actually two words, sannyasa. That means accepting. There's different ways to analyze this word. Sun means to accept something, and nyasa means to reject. So sometimes a Mayavadi sannyasi is called a nyasi. Nyasi means someone who just rejects. But a Vaishnava sannyasi is a sannyasi because he's accepting everything favorable for serving Krishna and rejecting everything unfavorable. So that's what Prabhupada was thinking at that particular point. Of course, later on, Prabhupada employed grahasthas in doing the most amazing preaching that even Prabhupada's godbrothers couldn't do, especially when he sent the group of devotees headed by Shyamasundara to London, and they were extremely successful, and then the whole Europe was opened up by grahasthas. So, but at that particular point, the culture was that if someone wanted to be respected, especially in India, you had to be a sannyasi. In America, it doesn't really make a difference. You can be a sannyasi, a brahmachari, whatever. I mean, obviously, if you have the word Swami, it sort of sounds cool, and people will respect you. But in America, it doesn't really make that much of a difference. I mean, you can be a man, you can be a lady, you can be a little baby, I mean, whatever it is. So, but this was traditional culture. So Prabhupada said, I was sitting alone in Vrindavan, writing. My godbrother insisted to me, Bhaktivedanta Swami, you must do it. I think he was sitting in the Vamshi Gopal temple, which is the first place Prabhupada resided in Vrindavan, before he resided in the Radha Damodara temple. Without accepting the renounced order of life, no one can become a preacher. So he insisted, not he insisted, practically, my spiritual master insisted. He wanted me to become a preacher. So he forced me through this godbrother. You accept. So unwillingly, I accepted it. Wow. Unwillingly. Actually, it was willing, but, you know, it's Prabhupada was responsible. One may say, you know, why wasn't he more enthusiastic? because Prabhupada wasn't responsible. He wasn't going to do anything irresponsibly. I was just listening to a Prabhupada memory the other day where Prabhupada was sitting in Mayapur and he heard that his previous wife and daughter were getting kicked out of their house because there was some family dispute, you know, that always happens in Bengal, family disputes. So they were getting kicked out of their house, and Prabhupada sent a message to them, you can come and live in Mayapur for the rest of your life if you want. And some devotees said to Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, you're sannyasi, you know, how can you have your previous wife live in Mayapur? And Prabhupada said, you're right, but this is an emergency situation. So a Vaishnava is always compassionate. It's not that he's like a Mayavadi. If he sees someone suffering, and Prabhupada, actually I was listening to another memory where Prabhupada was bragging about the devotees in Melbourne. In Melbourne, the devotees were preparing for Rath Yatra, and as they were preparing for Rath Yatra, there was a fire in a nearby building, and there were some ladies who were out of the balcony, you know, second floor, third floor, whatever it was, and they were in danger. They couldn't get out. And the devotees grabbed, what did they grab? The canopy for the Rath Yatra cart and held that canopy. And by holding that canopy, they said to the lady, jump, jump. And she jumped. And she was saved because of the devotees. So that hit the news that particular day. And Prabhupada was very proud of that. The devotee should always be compassionate. It's not that we think, oh, well, they're just karmis. We should feel compassion and want to help, if we're able to help, without sacrificing our Krishna consciousness. So here's a description of the place where Prabhupada took sannyas. Keshavaji, Gaudiya Math, was located in the midst of one of Mathura's downtown bazaars. Its main entrance, an arched doorway, led into a courtyard open to the sky through a metal grating above. The architecture was similar to that of the Vamsi Gopalji temple. That's where I said probably was staying at that time. The atmosphere was secluded as in a monastery. Abai was a familiar welcome figure here. He had lived here, written and studied in the library here, edited the Gaudiya Patrika, it's a newspaper, and donated the deity of Lord Chaitanya, who stood on the altar beside the deities of Radha and Krishna, Shri Radha Vinoda Viharaji. But his visit during September 1959 was not an ordinary one. He entered the mat dressed in white, Abai Babu, but he would soon be leaving dressed in saffron, a swami. Abai had been living as a renunciate for 9 years, but there was, renunciate means vanaprastha. He wasn't living with his family at this particular point. So he had actually renounced his family. But still, you know, he felt some responsibility. As I mentioned before, even after taking sannyas, Prabhupada felt some responsibility. Even when Prabhupada left the planet in his will, he left a stipend, a trust fund, for his family. There was no need for him to observe a ceremony or proclaim himself a sadhu by changing to saffron dress, but it was the parampara system that a man take tridandi sannyas at the end of his life. He was aware of the cheating sannyasis. Even in Vrindavan, he had seen so-called sadhus who did not preach, but simply spent their days hunting for japatis. Some swamis of Vrindavan even indulged illicitly in what they had supposedly come here to reject, sex life. Such persons were making a mockery of sannyas. And of course, there's that whole story where there was some controversy as to who would get Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj's transcendental body after Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj left this world. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the only disciple of Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, but the sannyasis, so-called sannyasis, did not want to allow him to have that body because that would be a big draw for the tourists. You know, a big draw for the tourists. And it's, you know, very, very interesting. I'll mention another point in a second. So they didn't want him to have that, the transcendental body there. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, all right, if anyone has not had illicit sex for a month, he can have the body. Then he went to fortnight, which was 2 weeks, then a few days, and they all slunk away. So, you know, many, many cheaters in the name of religion. In the Western world, too. You know, it's not, we do not have a monopoly on cheating in India. Everywhere, there are people who are cheating. And there were the caste Goswamis also, who lived like ordinary householders, running temples as a business to support their families and accepting honor and donations from the public on the false basis of birth. Abai knew of these abuses of sannyas, but he also knew the real purpose of sannyas. Sannyas was for what? Preaching. That's the point, because actually in Kali Yuga, according to the Vedic literatures, sannyas is prohibited. And the only time it can be accepted if it's for preaching Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, what is the need for sannyas? There's no need, because one can be renounced in any situation. On the morning of September 17th, 1959, of course, we are talking right now of the Western calendar day, but today is the moon calendar day, the Viswarupa Mahotsava, which Srila Prabhupada took sannyas on. In the 50 by 25 foot deity room on the second floor of the Keshavaji Math, a group of devotees sat before the deities of Radha, Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya. The deities were colorfully dressed in royal clothing and silver crowns. Radharani's right hand faced palm forward in benediction for the worshipper. At her side, her left hand held a flower for Krishna. Krishna stood like a dancer, placing his right leg in a casual tiptoe pose before his left, playing his long silver flute, which he held gracefully to his red lips. His long black hair reached down past his shoulders, and the garland of marigolds around his neck reached down to his knees. On his right stood the deity of Lord Chaitanya, his right arm raised, left arm at his side, his body straight, feet together. He was a soft golden color, and he had large eyes, well-formed red mouth, and straight black hair down to his shoulders. One level below the deities were pictures of the spiritual masters in disciplic succession: Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Bhakti Pagyana Keshava Maharaj. Abai sat on a mat of kusha grass beside 90-year-old Sanatana, who was also to receive sannyas that day. Sitting opposite the two candidates, Narayan Maharaj, Keshava Maharaj's disciple, prepared to conduct the ceremony of mantras and offerings of grains and ghee into the fire. Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji, Abai's godbrother, known for sweet singing, played murdanga and sang Vaishnava bhajans. Sitting on a raised asana, His Holiness Keshava Maharaj presided. Since there had been no notices or invitations, only the Math's few residents attended. So, Prabhupada was very intimate with Krishnadas Babaji, who was the only Babaji disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and very close to Srila Prabhupada. He would come to see Prabhupada before Prabhupada passed away in Vrindavan. He came to see Prabhupada in Mayapur. And he was always very jolly, just chanting the holy names. And if the devotees asked him any question, even after Prabhupada left this world, he would just laugh and chant Hare Krishna at them. So that's ideal Babaji life. Babaji life means what? A Paramahansa. So in the Paramahansa mode, one doesn't preach that much, one actually just is absorbed in his internal life, his or her internal life. But sometimes the Paramahansa steps down to emulate a Majjhima Adhikari, and he steps down out of compassion, like Srila Prabhupada, because a Majjhima Adhikari preaches, and he makes distinction between devotees and non-devotees and the innocent and the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the envious. Narayan Maharaj chanted the required mantras and then sat back silently while Keshava Maharaj lectured. Then, to everyone's surprise, Keshava Maharaj asked Abaya to speak. Abaya had not expected this. As he looked around at the gathering of devotees, he understood the common language was Hindi. Only Keshava Maharaj and a few others spoke English. Yet he knew he must speak in English. Wow. I wish we had a recording of that, or transcription of that speech. We don't. After Abhaya's speech, each initiate received a sannyas danda, the traditional head high staff made of four bamboo rods bound together and completely enwrapped in saffron cloth. So there's actually, it's called a tree danda because the body, mind, and words are dedicated to Krishna, and the soul is the fourth danda. It's four bamboo rods. Anyway, I was actually given one too. They were given their sannyas garments, one piece of saffron cloth for a dhoti, one for a tapis, and two strips for underwear. They also received tulsi neck beads and the sannyas mantra, which I'm not going to give you. Keshava Maharaj said that Abhay would now be known as Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj and Sanatan would be Muni Maharaj. After the ceremony, the two new sannyasis posed for a photo, standing on either side of their sannyas guru, who sat on a chair. Let's see if I can find that photo. Hold on a second. Prabhupada. Taking sannyas. Sometimes Google's easier to find things than... Yeah, I found it. It's easier to find things with Google than it is in the database. Okay, let me just share that for a second. Hold on, let me make it bigger so everyone can see it. Alright, wait a second. Whoop. There we go. I mean, it's not such a great picture, but let me just share it for a second. And then we'll go back. That's amazing that we have this picture of Prabhupada taking sannyas. I think everybody could see it. With Muni Maharaj and Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. And Keshava Maharaj sitting down. Okay. Sorry if the quality is not that good. Let's go back to the text that I was just reading. All right. Where are we? Okay. Here we go. Keshava Maharaj didn't pose any strictures on Abhaya. In other words, no instructions. He simply encouraged him to go on preaching. Yet Abhaya knew that to become A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami did not mean merely that he's giving up his family, home comforts, and business. He had already done that 5 years ago, changing from white cloth to saffron cloth, from Abhay Babu to Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, had a special significance. It was the mandate he had acquired, required, the irrevocable commitment. Now it was only the matter of time before Bhaktivedanta Swami would travel to the West, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had ordained. This was Bhaktivedanta Swami's realization of his new sannyas status. So, of course, in sannyas, you're taking a vow. And the vow is just like, well, sharanagati, basically. Basically, what? Number one, to accept everything favorable for preaching, Krishna conscious. Two, to reject everything unfavorable. Three, to always understand the Lord is maintaining one. Four, to always understand the Lord is protecting one. Five, sometimes five and six are switched, to have no separate interest other than the interest of the Lord, and eight, to be meek and humble. That's the hardest one for me, being meek and humble. I'm going to put this in the chat window back there again so I can see. So, the Gaudiya Patrika's account of the sannyas initiation included a biographical sketch of Sri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj listing the major events of his life. The article concluded, seeing his enthusiasm and ability to write articles in Hindi, English, and Bengali, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj gave him the instruction to take Sri Dandi Sannyas. For nearly 1 year, he had been ready to accept sannyas. From the founder of the Vedanta Samiti, Bhakti... In the month of Bhadra, on a day on which Viswarupa accepted sannyas, Bhaktivedanta Swami at the Sri Keshavaji Gaudiya Math accepted sannyas from, from the founder of the Vedanta Samiti, Prati Pragyana Keshava Maharaj. Seeing him accept his ashram of renunciation, seeing this pastime for accepting the renounced order of life, we have attained great affection and enthusiasm. Yes, that's the end of Prabhupada's taking sannyas. So, actually, we'll just read a little bit more and then we'll take questions. Bhaktivedanta, and then tomorrow we'll go to Krishna book again. Bhaktivedanta Swami, accompanied by some of the Keshavaji Gaudiya Math's devotees, made a short preaching tour of Agra, Kanpur, Jhansi, and Delhi. But he was soon back in his own place at the Vamsi Gopalji Temple. That's a beautiful temple. It's just like in a corner right on near the Yamuna River. I've been there. And Prabhupada's quarters were very sparse. I mean, in these temples, there was no bathroom or anything. So every morning and any other time they had to go to the bathroom, they had to walk out on the sandy bank, which is right next to the Yamuna, with a loda and take care of themselves. Very, very primitive. You know, you think of Prabhupada was staying in a temple, all right, there was a bathroom, there was a kitchen. I mean, in Prabhupada's quarters at the Radhadamodar temple, which I assume were similar to the quarters that he had at the Vamsi Gopalji temple, Prabhupada just had a little tiny cooker. And somehow or other, you know, he was able to wash things, clean the pots and everything like that. Or he had a multi-tiered cooker, which he was able to cook so many preparations simultaneously. But still, it's very difficult. No running water, no sinks, no bathrooms. You know, just very, 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 very simple. How many of us could actually live like that? Actually, Prabhupada wanted us to have better facility because he understood those of us from the Western world, and actually most of the people from India now, were accustomed to a more comfortable way of life. But Prabhupada was engaged in really heavy austerities even before he took sannyas, just living like that. And Prabhupada got gored by a bull at one particular time when he was trying to preach Krishna consciousness and distribute his back to Godhead magazines, got rejected by people. I mean, and he was all alone. He had no one to just like encourage him except for Krishna. And of course there's stories when he was in the Radhadamodar temple, that Prabhupada would sometimes be heard from the neighboring temple crying, and Prabhupada commented one time that he was communicating with Srila Rupa Goswami. Because the Radhadamodar temple was the headquarters of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They would meet there regularly to discuss their literatures and discuss Krishna Katha, and they would take prasadam there together. But he was soon back at his own place in the Vamsi Gopalji temple. No one called him a Bhai Babu any longer, even amongst friends. It was Swamiji or Maharaj. And people often addressed him as Swami Bhaktivedanta Ji, Swami Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. It's a long title. People readily recognized him as a sadhu and offered respect. Yet his basic problems remained. He wanted to write in print, but he had no money. He wanted to broadcast the message of Godhead, but few were willing to listen. Such things hadn't been changed by his becoming a Swami. When a librarian advised Bhaktivedanta Swami to write books, they were permanent, whereas newspapers were read once and thrown away. He took it that his spiritual master was speaking through this person. And that's very interesting, that Yomam Pashati Sarvatra Sarvam Chumayam Pashati Tashaham Napranashami Zacha Me Napranashati, that one should actually see, even when, sometimes when an ordinary materialist is speaking to you, of course you don't take everything they say as the absolute truth, but one should see that Krishna's communicating something to you. And so Prabhupada took it like that. Then an Indian army officer who liked back to Godhead suggested the same thing. Bhaktivedanta Swami took it as a revelation from his spiritual master, as a dependent servant constantly meditating on the desires of his transcendental master and seeking his guidance. Bhaktivedanta Swami felt his spiritual master's reciprocal blessings and personal presence. More and more he was feeling confidential contact with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and now he is feeling an inspiration to write books. And it's also important because today's the Bhadra, starting the Bhadra month or something like that. Anyway, they're having this marathon called the Bhadra Purnima Marathon. He considered Srimad Bhagavatam because it was the most important and authoritative Vaishnava literature. Although Bhagavad Gita was the essence of all Vedic knowledge presented in a brief ABC fashion, Srimad Bhagavatam was elaborate, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhakti Vinod Thakur had both written Bengali commentaries on the Bhagavatam. In fact, most of the great Vaishnava acharyas of the past had commented on Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself had recommended Srimad Bhagavatam as the spotless Vedic literature. An English translation and commentary for this book could one day change the hearts of the entire world, like we're seeing. And if he could publish even a few books, his preaching would be enhanced. He could go abroad with confidence and not appear empty-handed. Also, his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, before he sent his disciples overseas, he published a book about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we understood you had to have some books to show people. You couldn't just go there without books. And Prabhupada's strategy was successful. And so then in the next paragraph it describes Gaurachand Goswami, proprietor of the Radha Damodar Temple, approached Bhaktivedanta Swami, inviting him to come live at the Radha Damodar Temple, being the eternal home of Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami. It would be more suitable for his writing and translating. Bhaktivedanta Swami was interested. He had never stopped his regular visits there, and he always felt inspired in the presence of the Samadhi tombs of the great leaders of Lord Chaitanya's movement, Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami. But when he went to look at the two available rooms, he found them in poor repair. They had not been maintained or lived in for many years. Not wanting to miss the opportunity, however, Bhaktivedanta Swami agreed to take the rooms at 5 rupees per month. He estimated that for a little more than 500 rupees, he could have electricity installed and extensive repairs made, and when it was finished, he could move in. So we're going to end our reading right now, and then we will allow you a few minutes to ask questions, either in the chat window or by raising your hand or allowing you to unmute yourselves. Okay, who has a question? No one has a question.
Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances.
Okay, one question, quick question.
What does the word Sharanagati mean?
Sharanagati means to go and surrender. Sharanagati, agati, gati, gati, the path of surrender. That's what it means. Like, Mama Kam Sharanam Braja, you know, like in the Bhagavad Gita 1866. Sarvadharmam Puricaja, Mama Kam Sharanam Braja. Just do it. Go there. Do it. So it means the path of surrender, path of going there. Okay? Sharanam means someone who has surrendered. Very, very nice question. Okay, yeah, you just get one question. And Cole, you have a question. Good to see you. Why don't you unmute yourself?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay, please accept my humble obeisances. I just had a question.
Okay.
When Krishna appeared on Earth in the Dwapara Yuga or the Dwarupa Yuga,
yeah,
was that actually like the full expansion of him? Like, was he still in Galaka Vrindavan when he came down?
Yeah, good question. Like Krishna, yes, that was fully Krishna. There wasn't an expansion, anything less than Krishna. It's not like Lord Narayan or anything like that. But Krishna also was in Vrindavan at the same time. I'm Goloka Vrindavan, sorry, which is your question, because Krishna never leaves Goloka Vrindavan. So Krishna, in his original aspect, can be in unlimited places simultaneously. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, great question. Thank you, Cole. So, who else has a question? Raise your little hand, or big hand, and or type in the chat window. If not, we can end. Shouldn't be a problem to end a little early. Okay, thank you very much. We'll hopefully see everybody tomorrow, same time, same station. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki.